you. Welcome, you may be seated. I am Ellie's husband, Oscar's dad and Beckett's dad. It's exciting to be in church this morning and be in the season that we're in as a church, amen? It's pretty cool. Did you hear about the big race this year? There's a big race going down between Beckett's dad and Beckett. So Beckett, my son, has become quite fast. We started out, I said, I'll do a 10-mile race with you, which that favors me because I like the long distance. But he's now changed it to 1 mile. And he just did a 4-minute 51 mile the other day. So I'm done. I'm just going to start slowly. You want to go to McDonald's, Beckett? Have as much as you want. Fatten him up before the end of the year. It's got to happen between now and the end of this year. So I will report back. We will see. Very exciting. Not really. In other news, our church lawnmower broke down this week again, but it's now back up. Now, I made a big announcement about the lawnmower, and I forgot to invite people to come and actually mow the lawn. That was the whole point of the announcement. So if you fancy yourself a Forrest Gumper and would like to mow the lawn, I would come and talk to me afterwards, and I'll give you the keys, I'll give you the petrol, and you can get on that thing, and off you go, and have some fun. You can write your name in the field, you can send a message to heaven, to Google Earth, you can do anything you like, except break it. So have some fun with that. Really exciting. So we've been in a series talking about prayer, and our heart is we want people to catch, it's an invitation, it's not a, we're not forcing people to pray, we want to invite people into that place, and also it's not whether I have to, want to, it's knowing from scripture that I'm meant to be in relationship with God. We're supposed to have, and God, the fact that he invites us, the creator of the universe, into a conversation with him is actually incredible, isn't it? It's just amazing that you can talk to the creator of the universe. You have a direct line. You don't got to go through people. This is something that happens between you and God. And I would encourage you to take advantage of prayer. So this morning, I want to talk about the relationship between prayer and the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about the relationship between prayer and discipline. Discipline is supposed to serve us. It's amoral. We've talked about the relationship between prayer and theology. We want to make sure that when we are praying, we're not praying prayers that are in opposition to God's will and God's plan. We've talked about many, multiple things. And so if you haven't caught up on that, all of those are posted on our YouTube channel and you can go and take a look. So let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege this morning to be able to come into your house and worship you. Lord, we thank you for the season we're in. Lord, we are grateful for where we're at, but we're making plans for where you've called us. And so, God, in our hearts this morning, Lord, we are grateful for everything that you're doing in our midst right now. And Holy Spirit, I pray this word catches in people's hearts, Lord, that we're not just having a conversation about prayer, but this becomes something that's part of the culture, Lord, from sending up, Lord, prayers, Hail Mary prayers to, Lord, an actual lifestyle of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And I want to invite every person here to our 6 a.m. prayer meeting every Saturday morning at our church building. I want to encourage you to come and experience it. For some of you, the challenge might be waking up early or you might have other commitments, but I want to, part of the consecration of the flesh, for me, it's a battle to overcome that and get there and go for it. But it's been fantastic. So there's a relationship between the Holy Spirit and prayer. Every single time I prepare a message, one of the things that I do is I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I'm not just randomly thinking, oh, I'll just preach on this. And it's not also a response to what's happening in the congregation. So say, for example, everyone's gossiping, I do a message or a series on the power of the tongue. But then people's marriages are struggling, so I do a series on relationships. Or no one's being generous, no one's tithing, so I do a series on generosity. The problem is I'm being led by the humanity of the congregation. Yeah. And I don't think we're supposed to be human-led, we're supposed to be Spirit-led. Yeah. And so when I prepare a message, I'm asking God and seeking God, what are you speaking to this church in this season right now? What are you saying to the heart of Exchange? And I take it very serious, and I pray, and I fast, and I seek God. And specifically, this is what I ask the Holy Spirit to do, is to take the Logos and make it Rhema. Amen. The Logos is the written word. It's established. It's the inerrant word of God, the infallible. It's the perfect word of God. It's absolute truth, the Logos. But it's the Holy Spirit that makes it personal, that reveals it. You can study the Bible, and without the work of the Holy Spirit revealing it, it just becomes knowledge and information. But when the Holy Spirit is involved in the process, then the Word comes alive. Here's a great Rhema verse. It's John 16, 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you about what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. A Rhema word never contradicts the Logos. There will never be a contradiction. It's never going to send you in a direction away from God. It's going to draw you closer to God. A Rhema word is often referred to as a now word. A word in season. And let me explain it this way. There's been messages that I've preached on Sundays, and I come off the stage and we'll have a conversation with someone, and they'll say, Pastor Mark, you have no idea. That was for me. It's like you were reading my mail. Who told you what's going on in my life right now? How do you know? Well, it's not me, obviously. It is me. I've got spy cameras. No. It's the Holy Spirit who tells me through a Rhema word what to speak on, and it ministers to the heart of where the church is at, or into the season of where the church is at. And now, just to bring me back down off the stage into the human level, also people come up to me and say, I think you probably need to shorten your preaching a little bit and dial it back. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helps pastors prepare a message so that they're speaking a Rhema word. It's the Holy Spirit turning Logos into Rhema. However, and biblically, here is an example of the Holy Spirit helping preachers preach. And it's from Acts 18, 24. And you shall see it on the screen. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He'd been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. What we believe, well, we believe the Bible. That's our vision as a church, by the way. We have to write a vision statement. It's the Bible. Just do what the Bible says. Be Christ-like. Love. My understanding of this passage right here, we believe that there is a baptism of water, which is what you heard a testimony today. And we believe that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what we see in Scripture. And my understanding of that particular passage of Scripture is that he knew about John's baptism, but there was another baptism that Priscilla and Aquila had to fill him in on. And that's what we see him, I interpret this as they're sharing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apollo is preaching the gospel enthusiastically and accurately, but something's missing. Something was missing. And they recognized that. So very educated, very, very eloquent, very knowledgeable. Maybe you had some PhDs. But something was missing. Something was absent. And they recognized that. And that really caught my attention. I never want to preach a message and people walk away and go, something was missing. I want the Holy Spirit to be the one that's working in people's hearts and moving in people's lives. However, the Holy Spirit doesn't just help pastors prepare a sermon. He also helps us pray. He helps us pray powerful and inspired prayers. Powerful and inspired. I'm really excited because there's the potential of a message like this radically revolutionizing some of your prayer life this morning. From prayer being a response to your existence and what's happening in your world, to the Holy Spirit teaching you what to pray. Yeah. And I mean, it's a game changer. The way in which you approach prayer completely changes. It's not boring anymore, and it's not something that you, in a season of I want to or I have to, it's a I'm meant to. Yeah. You get to be in partnership with God. Acts chapter 2:1-4 is a great example of their praying, and then something happens. The Holy Spirit comes. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what a wild experience that would have been to experience that. But I will present this morning that some of us might think that that's a one-off instant, but it's not. It's a pattern that we see biblically through Scripture, where the Holy Spirit is infilling people and their prayer life is changing. There's a new level of power that comes from the prayers. Prayers of a righteous people are powerful and avail much. Amen. So, and for a bit of fun, and this would have been a wild time this morning, if God said to you that you could choose to be born in a different dispensation of time, then what time would you choose? And I'll give you some options here. And this is fun. I'm just totally making this up. This is not theological right now. Here are seven dispensations of human history. Is a time frame of innocence, which is the Garden of Eden. Consciousness, which is from Adam to Noah, human government, which is from Noah to Abraham, a time of promise, Abraham to Moses, time of law, Moses to Christ, a time of grace, church age, and the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, 1,000-year reign. Which one would you choose? If you could go back in history and be born into any of those times and experience any of that. I am a conscious time. I'm an Adam to Noah. You know why? Because you get to live for hundreds of years. I'll just keep getting better looking and better looking as the time goes on. You get to see a Nephilim. You get to watch the animals go onto the ark. You might not get to go on the ark though. They're all the pros, but there's one big con. Circumcision. I'm out. Adult circumcision. You can't. Can you imagine the transition from the law of Moses to the grace and the law of Christ? The law of Christ scripture, just so we're on the same page, is Mark 12:30, and it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So the church is in this dispensation of time from the law of Moses to now being under the law of Christ. Can you imagine trying to preach in that season and theologically what's true? And there must have been confusion. There must have been false teachers that rose up. And this time frame would have been very fascinating to see it unfold. And we also see this relationship between the Holy Spirit and prayer multiple times. And here's another one in Acts 14, verse 17. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Theologically, what I believe is when you are saved and you invite Christ into your heart, then you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We all got that if we've accepted Christ. But here we can see that these believers, it calls them believers, believe in the message, but have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again, we see the same thing here in Acts chapter 19 that happened in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes and there is a shift from natural prayers to supernatural prayers. It's in Acts 19:1, and it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers, Christians, people who are followers of the way. And it says, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There are about 12 men in all. 12 men in all. I find that very fascinating, actually, for people who are cessationists that believe the gifts ceased. But here are 12 men that are not the apostles, and the gift continued. They prophesied, and the Holy Spirit came in there. There's a relationship between the Holy Spirit and your prayer life. It brings your prayer life to life. It's incredible. I love that the Holy Spirit infills ordinary people to pray extraordinary prayers. Ordinary people can pray extraordinary prayers. You don't need to be qualified by man, just humble before God and say, God, use me. God, speak to me. And God is so gracious that he will infill us. We can pray prayers with authority, prayers with power, prayers that avail much. When we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus from the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us. When you ask the Holy Spirit into your prayer life, you should expect for there to be a supernatural difference to the nature in which you pray. You should expect that. You should expect for healings. Now, it's our faith. Whether God chooses to heal or not is up to God. But I won't be held accountable for if they are healed or not. I will be held accountable for my faith to pray for the healing and to not waver in my faith, believing for the miracle. And you know what? I would rather pray for the person, even if they didn't get healed, than knowing that I actually care and love them. Amen. To know that there's a possibility there. When you ask the Holy Spirit into your prayer life, you should expect there to be a difference. And now Ellie, Pastor Ellie, which is how I have her in my phone, Pastor Ellie.
Hello, this is Pastor.
In September 2025, we got the keys to our new church building, which is really exciting. Now, Ellie decides she's going to a women's pastor's deal. There's a bunch of women there and just doing women things. I don't know what happened there, but Ellie's at this women's event, and in that meeting, a lady that Ellie had never met before comes up to Ellie and says, can I pray for you? Ellie says, yes, totally. And this is what she says. Doesn't know Ellie, has never met Ellie. And we're talking about your prayer life should change when the Holy Spirit comes in. It says, the land the Lord has given you, there are trespasses on that land, you are to take some oil and anoint the perimeters of that land. She doesn't know that, that the person who prayed for Ellie doesn't know that we just got 2.6, 2.5 acres of land in Lafayette for our church. And we've been talking about this since September, or well, since we've acquired the land. When I heard that, I'm like, wow, I got goosebumps. That's pretty phenomenal. The story doesn't stop there, of course. That prayer happened on a Friday morning. Whilst this was happening to Ellie, roughly around the same time, the Holy Spirit started speaking to Jan Renee, sitting on the front row here. And God started to speak to her. The very next Sunday that Ellie comes to church, Ellie is approached by Jan Renee. She walks up to Ellie and says, God told me to give you this oil. Literally the next Sunday. You can't make this stuff up. How does that... It's got the Holy Spirit. You see the relationship of the Holy Spirit? It just makes it so exciting of what the Holy Spirit can do. Now, I've asked Ellie the question, how many times in the 38 years, which makes her 39 years old, that you've been going to church, has someone come up to you and said, God told me to give you oil? You'd think at least maybe a couple, anointing oil, being a pastor. Only one, and it was Jan Renee. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Holy Spirit, actively, I want to encourage you to be listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide you into what to pray for, so that we're not praying prayers that's just a self-centered and it's praying for my needs and for my desires and it's all centered around me. It's like when the Holy Spirit comes, fills you, it lifts you out of the realm of yourself and you start to see the bigger picture of what God is doing, which makes it so awesome. Romans 8:26-27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Did you know that the word weakness comes from the Greek noun asthenia, which refers to our limited capacity as human beings and our susceptibility to sin and death? That word weakness doesn't come from the fact that we're distracted and we're clueless in terms of what to pray. It's part of our human nature. Yeah. Yeah. Our limited capacity as human beings. So if you've found it difficult to pray, you're theologically correct. You're theologically accurate. Because the human part of you doesn't know what to pray. Yeah. The human part of you is like a lost sheep. And you'll write things on that prayer list, although God will hear those prayers and it matters to God. And I think it's important to pray. But I want a Holy Spirit upgrade in my prayer life. I don't want the prayers to come from Mark. I want to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit, as it says here, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. That's the kind of prayer life that I want. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that aligns our prayers to the will of the Father, not the will of Mark, not the will of your boss, not the will of the culture that you come from. I want my prayers, and it's the Holy Spirit that aligns my prayers to the will of the Father. That's why you don't see me putting tattoos on myself that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because half of the things that I pray for can't make it through Christ because they're not for Christ, they're for me. But I want the Holy Spirit to be the one that inspires me. Yeah. Our prayers shift from Mark-centered prayers to God's will-inspired prayers. Yeah. I don't want Mark's will. You can add your name there too. Instead of condemning us for our frailty, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us in our weakness, providing strength, guidance, and his comforting presence. Isn't that awesome? That one of the functions and the roles of the Holy Spirit is to actually upgrade your ability to pray. Yeah. to give you wisdom and insight, discernment. I mean, don't even get me started on the relationship between the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and the possibility, endless possibility of what God can do because it's God doing it. And God chooses so graciously to partner with us in our frail human state so that we can see and build relationship with Him. Now, don't you just love technology? Do you love the environment that we're in right now? I love the speakers and how it all works. But if why I'm speaking here, you have this great microphone. Ooh, pop. How's that? I want the batteries of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to come into my life so that I can do the things that God's called me to do. And often what happens is I get stuck in a place where I think it's all about me and I think it's all about my abilities, my gifts, my talents, my resource, my revelation, my relationships. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming in that actually helps us. This microphone is a perfectly functional microphone, but if you take the power out of it, it doesn't work. It ceases to be able to do what it was created to do. Now, I still function as a human, and I can still eat, sleep, live as many people do, but when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, then you are able to do above and beyond things that you can hope and imagine, things that are way outside of your natural capacity. Because now it's God doing it. It's a partnership with God. Yeah. Ephesians 1:19 verse 20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. I was at our weekly prayer meeting on Saturday morning, 6 a.m. That's an invitation. And I'm just praying. I'm just at the back of the room, pacing back and forward. I've got my staph infection in my nose. It's driving me crazy. And I'm just walking back. And then I felt interrupted by the Holy Spirit. And as I saw everyone praying in the room, I really felt the Holy Spirit say, Mark, this group right here is interrupting and causing a disruption to the plans that the enemy has for the people that are in this area. There's an interruption. This is a pain. What these people are doing is a punish to what the enemy's plans are for people who are in this area, that the enemy has got them captured in bondage. There's a blindfold over their eyes, and they don't know any different, know any better. Beautiful, wonderful people, I'm sure, but they need the love of Jesus. And when we pray, we are spiritually getting in line with God's agenda for His plan for that area. So we're not allowing the enemy to continue to do what he wants to do. I believe the enemy does want to, he wants to shut down a group of people. He's not happy about the fact there's a group of people coming in to possess that building and actually declare in Jesus' name that land belongs to God, and God's going to have His way with His people on that property so we can see the name of Jesus lifted up high. Yeah. Amen. In a previous message, Saturday morning prayer meeting, Kim prayed a prayer that I believe was Holy Spirit inspired as well. And on the way, I can't remember exactly the details of it, but she was praying for the school that was next to our new building, that we would possess that land as well. I thought, that's a bold prayer. We've got to get the faith and the money to raise for the current building that we've got, and we'll get there. But then God touched her heart and said, no, don't pray for that. Pray that they would encounter Jesus, and pray that God would give us the wisdom and discernment to see them for who they really are. Yeah. to see them the way God sees them. Doesn't the Holy Spirit, isn't just like the Holy Spirit to upgrade your prayer and upgrade your thoughts so that you start getting on in tune with what His agenda is and His will, seeing God do that? Prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. It doesn't change God, it changes us. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your renewed spirit in Christ doesn't struggle with prayer. The problem is our old sinful nature struggles with prayer. But your spirit that has been created anew in Christ does not struggle in prayer. I love to do the relationship between prayer and salvation and how some people don't understand theologically the power of salvation and how much it has transformed you. People still bring in guilt and condemnation into their prayer life, not knowing that that was theologically dealt with on the cross. Amen. Thank God for Jesus and the change. Ephesians 4:22 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's what God says about you. That's how God sees you. God sees you through the lens of Christ, made righteous, cleansed by the blood. You're a new creation in Christ. Isn't that exciting? I just wish sometimes when I get down and have a hard week or something goes wrong, unplanned, unscripted, that God would give me the maturity and the capacity and He would strengthen me to still see myself the way God sees me. That I would see myself the way God sees me. I think it would change the way that a lot of us pray. I'll finish with this story. I was in Australia and I was just a young whippersnapper. I would have been 14, 15 years old. And actually, no, I was about 15 years old. And I had gone to a conference, a church conference, youth conference in another state called Adelaide. It's the city of, known as the city of churches. And we were at this conference and there would have been thousands of people in the room. And as the person was preaching, they're praying over different people. They're just calling people out. So the chances and the odds of being called out is pretty much like winning the lottery. But sure enough, I get called out. And the person points at me and says, you. And they prophesied and prayed a word over my life. And I have never been the same since that. The accuracy, at the time I was a guitarist in church. I was teaching guitar, teaching all my surfers friends' mums is what I was. And I was the church guitarist for pretty much every event. And I was also doing this. And she said, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. I've never seen you before in my life, but I see you playing guitar in your church. And it marks you. It changes you. That's the Holy Spirit getting in being invited into someone's prayer life, and it changes the expectation in the room. I want to encourage you, if this conversation is new and you've never thought about what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you that it will change the dynamic of your prayer life forever. You will shift from begging to boldness, from pleading to purpose and power. The transformation is so life-changing that you can't go back. You can't unencounter this. And I believe it's for everyone in the room. The invitation is available to everyone. This is a privilege that we have of even me getting to share this message this morning of how your prayer life can be the most vibrant part of your relationship with God. It can be, it can become a vital part for you where you can't live without it. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise just you and your own, you and yourself, I mean, those prayers still go up. God still hears those prayers. God's still gracious and kind and loving. Nothing about God changes. But how it changes us is just so encouraging, so awesome. And I want to encourage everyone in this room. I want to invite you to be asking the Holy Spirit to baptize you. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill and equip you and empower you every single day. So God, this morning, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to worship you. We thank you for the cross. Lord, you died so we can live and live a life filled with purpose. I thank you, God, that we're not just saved, but we're also called. Lord, but that with that calling, you equip us and empower us. Lord, you said, go into all the world, but you didn't send us alone. You go with us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're close. Lord, that you're a comforter, a healer. Lord, you're a helper, an empowerer. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, for the power, Lord, that you put in us. Lord, when you said, before Jesus ascended, wait here, and you shall receive power. God, I pray, Lord, and I thank you that power is still coming. It's still happening today. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being, Lord, in a place to be able to see you function and see you move in mighty ways. We lift up your name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I pray that you received the word this morning, and I want to encourage you. This was obviously a little bit more of a, for some people, a new topic. You can go onto our YouTube channel and go back over it again and just kind of draw it out. Learn those scriptures and be able to allow the Holy Spirit to help reveal that to you so you understand truly what the Bible is communicating in that manner. Also excited about people here for the first time may not have started a relationship with Jesus before. We love to have to pray with people. In fact, we'll have prayer partners on my left and right this morning. If you're in that place, then I want to encourage you to come up and get prayer, and they'll pray with you and help you in that process of not just having a moment with God, but building a relationship with Him, which is very important. We also have Exchange Track, which is straight after the service today. And I'll be in there sharing a little bit about the vision of how we started and how God has taken us on this almost 10-year journey and what's been happening here, which we're really excited about. With that, thank you this morning, and I pray that you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you in church next Sunday. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.